Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and we have a new science fiction thriller coming out December 11th called Parallel, and I am very excited because the director is Isaac S. Bonn, who made one of my favorite movies of 2016, The Similars, Los Parecidos, and I finally get to talk to him. Hi, Isaac!
Oh, hello, Summer. I'm very happy to be here with you today to talk about sci-fi, to talk about parallel universes, and thank you for your comments on The Similars. I'm very happy to hear you enjoyed it. It's a movie I really, really proud of, so it means a lot to me. Thank you.
I was so excited to see that you had another sci-fi thriller coming our way, and Parallel is a delightful combination of thriller, heist, and time travel, or the playing with the possibilities of the multiverse. And this movie is so good.
Oh, thank you so much. You basically just described something that sounds like the most ambitious movie ever made. So a combination of thriller, time travel, and heist, and but Parallel is actually quite like that. You know, it has some kind of comedy at start. It has sort of like a lighter tone in the first half, and you don't expect how things are going to get so dark in the second half, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm always a huge fan of those movies that become another movie later down the line, you know? So it's definitely one of those, a movie that becomes another movie. It has comedy, it has sci-fi, it has thriller, it has some horror in it. A good friend of mine always says, any great sci-fi movie needs to become a horror movie in the last 15 minutes. So I think Parallel definitely has that as well. And, you know, I think most of it, I like to say this movie for me is the classic meets the modern, because it has some very classical elements. You know, at the end of the day, it's simply a story of playing with the fire from the gods, you know, a story about ambition, like you would see in any great Twilight Zone episode, where somebody would have a magical camera that can take photos into the future, and then his ambition with this device would end up destroying him, you know. So it's, in that sense, it's a very classic film, and you know, it resembles Twilight Zone, and I think it has some stylistic choices that could be seen as coming out of Brian De Palma or Dario Argento or Lucio Fulci, or just like a classic film. And at the same time, it's completely a modern film, and it has some stylistic choices like quick montages that could be coming out of Darren Aronofsky or Danny Boyle film, and it, you know, takes place in the world of social media and mobile apps and entrepreneurs and people who want to be the next Mark Zuckerberg or Steve Jobs. So I always say this movie is like the classic meets the modern. Actually, my initial pitch to the producers was, I want to make Flatliners meet The Social Network. And I believe that's kind of like the movie we're made in a way. So I'm very happy with it. Yeah, happy you enjoyed it.
How did you come across the story? Because I like the idea that, I don't want to spoil too much because I really want people to see this, but the central dilemma, moral dilemma, is not just enriching their own lives, but the thought that you're maybe playing with other lives, and are those lives real or not?
Yes, completely. Actually, I believe when you deal with parallel universes, it's always a very complex and ambitious theme. And I've seen many movies about it. I'm a huge fan of the whole stories of doppelgangers and parallel universes. But I had never seen quite one like this, where in a way it kind of like resembles this, you know, this classical this classic device of a story that I already mentioned, of playing with the fire from the gods. And at the same time, uses parallel universes for that, you know. And I feel this movie is just, in a way, like the tip of the iceberg, you know. Like, you see them messing up with other parallel universes, taking ideas, taking creativity, taking art, taking technology, taking gadgets from there. But at the same time, you don't really see the consequences that each of these universes will have, and they mess up with other lives, and you don't see the big consequences they'll have. And just the movie has so much stuff going on. You know, it's a movie that goes super fast. Like, I think the pacing of the movie is crazily fast. And for me, I think the core of the story is the characters, you know, the dynamics, the relationship between the characters. It's a very human sci-fi movie in a way. You know, I always say, for me, Parallel, it's almost more like a character drama with hints of sci-fi. Because, you know, each of these four heroes has a very particular relationship with the other, and then with the other, and the other, and I think that's very clear throughout the movie. So, because the movie focuses so much on that, on the relationships, sometimes a lot of questions remain of, wait, what's happening in that universe? Where did they bring this from? How did they earn this money so fast? And I think some great movies, that's a great characteristic of great movies, where the movie shows you the tip of the iceberg, and you have to, you know, create a whole movie in your head of what actually happened to get to there, you know. And I think because the plot is so ambitious, like you could have the same movie, the same plot, it could be a completely different movie focused on something else, you know. You definitely feel that in Parallel in many ways, but I'm happy that we chose to focus on this, you know, on the characters, and everything else, it's what's, you know, under the water in this tip of the iceberg. And, you know, actually, I didn't write the story. This was the first movie I direct that I didn't write myself. It was written by Scott Blazak, who's a great screenwriter, genius screenwriter. But I almost consider, without taking any credit from Scott, that it could be something I could have written myself, because it speaks so much to me, to the personal stories I like to tell. Like, I always like to use sci-fi to talk about human themes. You know, The Incident was a movie about the passage of time. The Similars, which you mentioned, was more about the identity and how it can shape who we are. So I definitely enjoy this idea of using sci-fi to talk about human elements. You know, The Twilight Zone did this better than anyone to talk about human themes, psychological themes, political themes. And I think that's Parallel in terms of the human philosophical themes. So when I came upon this script, I was like, whoa, I need to direct this movie, you know. And it felt like something I would have written myself. I had a lot of freedom to play with it. I definitely changed the ending. I added more character details and many other things. But yeah, I mean, it's not like I came up with it, but it definitely helped to shape it to what it is. And yes, we definitely, it's an ambitious film. And we show you the tip of the iceberg, which is the characters and the perspective of the characters and everything else you have to understand and put together. But it's definitely one of those films where, when I introduce this always on a festival, I always say, do not go to the bathroom, you know, because you will miss like two or three twists, you know. And you know, I hate it when people go to the bathroom in any film, you know. I'm a control freak, but I think in this film it goes so fast and so much stuff is going on that you could go to the bathroom and the characters are poor and come back and they are millionaires, you know? So, yeah.
So talk about working with the actors, because the four members of this team, this development team, they are so different. And even when dealing with the parallel versions, the slight differences that come across are just so affecting. And the personalities and how they react to what they are able to do was a delight to see. And to see it change through the story was just very, very tense and delightful.
Yeah, it was amazing working with this four lead of group of actors. Actually, you know, like I said, this is a character drama with hints of sci-fi, so it was very important to find great actors for it. There's a lot of intensity that goes on there, a lot of emotion, and I couldn't be happier with our cast. We worked with Denise Shamian, a great casting director with a lot of Hollywood experience. She was wonderful. She gave us many great ideas. And we always said we need to find four young leads that we didn't want it to be like completely new faces, and we also didn't want them to be like a huge star. We wanted somebody who has done some stuff, who has been in important TV series and movies, but I'm still somebody who is up and coming in their career. In a way, I remember the we said with the producers, we wanted to find something like the cast of The Social Network when they did The Social Network, you know, which at the time you didn't know Andrew Garfield was going to become Andrew Garfield, or you know, that Jesse Eisenberg would be Lex Luthor, or Rooney Mara would be Rooney Mara. And nowadays you see that movie and you're like, wow, how come all those guys were together in a movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, that was the plan with Parallel. And I definitely feel we found the actors around that level. I definitely feel that our four leads are definitely doing some great, great stuff and are going to high places. And I'm sure one day people will see Parallel and they'll be like, what? How come, you know, Isaac got to work with all of those four guys in a movie, you know? And it was just amazing working with them. The four of them are super gifted, talented. The four of them support each other on their scenes. The four of them really prepared for the roles and did their homework and did a lot of rehearsals. Rehearsals from, you know, from just talking about the characters to literally rehearsing the scene. Like there was a lot to begin. We even started like Skyping many months before the pre-production, so that they asked me many questions about the characters, and then they started working on it. And they are also four great friends. You know, I'm really good friends with them. I think of all my films, the films I made is the one where I still remain closest to the actors. We speak often. They're also all really film geeks. They're also filmmakers. Some of them, like Mark, is actually now directed his first feature film that's coming out this year, I think. Amel was also trying to direct his film. Georgia and Mark are writing a script, so they're all very much into directing, writing as well. And I just think the vision that these producers have of let's bring, you know, a filmmaker from Mexico, a DP from Toronto, an actor from Sweden, an actor from Canada that lives in LA, an actor from Edinburgh that lives in LA, and an actor from UK. Let's put them all together in this building in Vancouver and make a movie. It was just like a great vision because we really connected well. We became very good friends. We even hang out all the weekends. I kind of miss that time. It was just like a great summer camp doing this movie, you know? And I feel you can tell that on the screen. You can tell we were enjoying making this movie. We were having fun. And even in the darkest times of the movie, in the horror times, you can tell we were enjoying it. So yeah, it was just a pleasure working with them, and I would love working with them again.
Yeah, the way everybody just sort of, you had a feeling that they had been friends for a very, very long time, and that comes across in the story
exactly.
Very easily. And I have to ask about the set design. There seemed to be sort of a color palette shift depending on which world we were in. Is that true, or was I just seeing things?
No, yeah, completely. Actually, you know, it was set design, it was also cinematography. Together with Karim Hussein, our cinematographer, we came up with this idea that, you know, because the film, like I said, goes so fast and you see so many universes, it was important that to have some kind of guide for the audience, that the audience would know always, you know, where we're at and what's actually going on. And in that sense, it was very helpful to create these visual cues. For example, we had different lenses. Every time we're in a normal universe, we're shooting in spherical lenses, and anytime we're in a parallel universe, it's anamorphic lenses. We also played with the lightning, the light, for example. Every time we're in a parallel universe, there are way more flares in the light. This was all achieved in an organic way, like literally Karim just putting nose grease on the lens. I just revealed a great technique there for everyone listening. and yeah, Karim is a guy who I learned a lot from and who likes to do everything practical. And also at the same time, we had the camera, the mising scene and the camera moves, where every time we're in a normal universe, it's definitely way more classic. And every time we go to a parallel universe, the camera is just mostly on the Steadicam doing this crazy movement and spiral. We had the great fortune to work with Joan Malnati, who's a great Steadicam operator, good friends with Karim as well, who also works in working like Darren Aronofsky's mother and many great films. And it was just very special to be able to have the Steadicam on our disposal to do anything we wanted to make. And you know, I remember when I made my first film, The Incident, the entire film is in a staircase. So I mean, half of the film. So we really needed a Steadicam, but because of the limited budget, we could only have him, I think, 4 days, and he was basically running up and down those 4 days. Now, in parallel, we basically had the Steadicam at our disposal any single day. So we try to use it, but not just for the sake of using it, but use it for the story, supporting the story. So every time we're in a normal universe, and every time we're in a parallel universe, the language is completely different. Also, the colors are different. The colors are way more saturated in the parallel universe, way more amber and blue. And yeah, those are some of the differences. The set design was made by the production designer, James Hazel, who had a great pleasure working with. And we basically built all the attic and the rooms of the house, and the rest of the stuff were just done in location, you know. So it was a very interesting idea, because I had shot movies entirely on location, like The Incident, and I had done movies entirely on stage, like in the case of The Similars. And this was the first time I had the opportunity to combine a little bit of both, which is, you know, the way most of the films are made. So it was a good experience for me to also see that magic happening.
What for you was the most exciting thing to see come on film, like the way you wanted it? Because I'm sitting here thinking about the movie, and I realized there were not a whole lot of special, like elaborate special effects. And so, like the editing process, what did you see that came through and were like, yes, nailed it?
Well, actually, there are many moments like that. Yes, there are not a lot of special effects. Karim and I like to work most things practically. Of course, the stuff with the mirror has a special effect, but mostly it's all done in a practical way. But I would say, you know, obviously I don't want to spoil too much, but the ending, I mean, that's an ending you don't forget, right? What happens in the end. So that, and we did it all practical, and you know, when that happened. And it's not the same when you actually see it happening, then we actually see it in the monitor running in slow-mo. When I saw that, I was like, yes, like that's the shot why I was born into this world, you know, to make this shot. But also, I would say also the beginning, actually, that shot with the techno crane where we come back down and approach the house in a very classical way, like to really start the story in a classical way. I was very happy with how that came up. And also, you know, once I saw Ben, our editor, cutting some of the montages, the scene at Carmen's house, which is kind of like in the middle of the movie when something happens to Josh there, or like all the montages when they are building the app, or when they are you know, the shopping montage, and also this really cool one-er, this moment when they discover they need to touch each other to cross the mirror, and we have kind of like a long sequence, and it's actually tricked because we cut to black every time we got behind the mirror. But that's something we meticulously planned it, drew it, everything. And when I shot it and I saw it edited, I was like, yeah, it actually really works. So all those moments, I mean, mostly, like I said, usually films get shot out of sequence, but this is actually my third film, and my first two movies I was lucky enough to shoot them in chronological order, because they were like all in one location, and because of the makeup and special effects, it was a necessity to shoot in chronological order. So I actually got used to doing movies, not, I wouldn't say the bad way, but maybe not the traditional way. So when we were doing this movie, I was at times kind of concerned, like, once you cut this with that, is it gonna stick? And actually, when I saw it, and when I saw the rough cut of the movie, and saw the like the possibilities it had, and the pacing, and how much fun it was, and the camaraderie of the guys, that was just absolutely beautiful. But yeah, those are some of the highlights for that I was surprised, like, oh, I'm happy this came up so good.
Awesome. Like I said, I'm going to definitely be recommending this to all my listeners and people who are fans of time travel or parallel universes and just good science fiction storytelling in general. Where can people find you online to keep up with what you're working on next?
Actually, yeah, thank you so much for recommending Parallel. And people can always look me up in IMDb, and also can find me in social media. It's very easy. to find me, it's just Isaac Esban. You know, my name, ISAAC, my last name, EZBAN, all together. That's how you find me in either Twitter or Instagram. And in Facebook, my official page is Isaac Esban/film director. So any of those sites, you can find me to see what I'm working on next.
Awesome. Well, Isaac, thank you again for delivering what's probably going to be one of my top five, top six movies of 2020.
Well, that's very good to hear. And you know, I think it's a good year to hear that, because although some people say that there haven't been so much releases, at the same time, it's a year when you've been watching so much content at home. So the fact that this is your top four or five or six, that actually, I'm very happy with it. It's a movie I hold very close to my heart, and I'm very happy you responded to it. And I'm very excited that the world will discover it on December 11. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Isaac. And the movie again is Parallel from Vertical Entertainment. It will be available on demand December 11th. We will have links to where you can find it, or just search your favorite digital location. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this. Hi, welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me now is actor Martin Wahlstrom, who plays a delightfully megalomaniacal character, Noel, in the upcoming sci-fi thriller Parallel. Hi, Martin.
Hi, Summer.
And how are you able to so delightfully portray someone who is caring, sweet, and devious?
Now, are you talking about the character or me? No, I'm just it's an interesting question, because I guess it all comes down to, well, it's when you play that kind of character, it's just nice to be unhinged, I guess. And you know, Noel, he's what a lot of people can feel sometimes when you're angry or you're disappointed. You know, the difference is that he's just letting it all out, I guess.
So tell us how you came to Parallel, because like I said, this is a really, really fun movie for me. And it, once again, Isaac has hit it out of the park. But how did you get to this project?
Well, I was sent the script and also Isaac's two previous films. So when I saw them, I thought that he had a very interesting take on sci-fi. And I mean, I haven't watched that much sci-fi, and like all the like great sci-fi films. I haven't seen, like, well, you know them more than I do, but classic stuff like some of the Kubrick's films, or like that. So I thought that he had a very interesting take on sci-fi, as when you have more of a philosophical theme on it, and they mentioned Flatliners as a reference, and I hadn't seen that one either. Isaac and I, we had a conversation, and he talked about what he wanted to do and how he was working. And basically, I was very curious on working with Isaac.
Cool. After you read through the character, what was there that impacted how you wanted to play Noel?
Well, I think it's when I looked at the character, I could see that there's this big arc. It's a big journey, and that's what I like to do. I'm not typically drawn to like to play the leading, what do you call it? Like the straight guy, the straight man. Yeah, I think it's so much more fun to be able to just go to that kind of length, and and be in it. So I think that was something I was attracted by. And also because I some previous interviews I've we talked about the similarity between Noel and Tyrell from Mr. Robot. And of course it's obvious, and I was pretty I could see why they came to me with a script. This was interesting in another way because Noel, he's just a normal guy and trying to work on his dream. And I thought that would be interesting to see how to take him from that into something, else. So that was one of the reasons I was interested by it.
How did you enjoy playing with the different versions of yourself?
Well, I for one thing, without spoiling, I don't know if I can, but there's one scene in the film where Mark O'Brien, who plays Josh, and I, we are dressed up as Vito Corleone from The Godfather,
Yes.
and to me, because Noel himself, he's not a very playful man. He's somewhat serious, and but that's one time when he's in a parallel universe and wants to, just play around. And honestly, it's the most fun I've ever had on a set for one day. And so that was, I mean, I could have done that for 10 different versions of it. And as you said, I mean, I was given opportunities to find different sides of the character in the different parallel universes. And that was also interesting to see, well, how can he behave in this universe and how will he behave here? And so that was something, and it was sometimes it was tricky to remember, like, okay, wait, is this another universe or is it here? And how am I gonna act here and there? So sometimes it was really, really complicated to just, working out where you were.
Did you have any particular other favorite scene besides that one? I don't want to give any spoilers away, but there's so many nuances to discovering additional layers to Noel's behavior, especially towards the end, that are just I don't know how to talk about it without spoiling it, and I definitely do not want to spoil this film because I love it so much.
Well, thank you. Well, I think oh yeah, it's a good question. How do I answer the question without spoiling? It's I mean, again, since the arc is so, there's so much happening to this character, I'd honestly say it was more interesting to play him. It was harder to play him in the beginning of the film, when he's this normal guy, and it just became easier and easier to play him in one sense. And maybe that's weird, and hopefully the audience will, I don't know, see it and understand. But I think that was it was became easier and easier as the film progressed.
Would you say that Noel's behavior, Noel's character became a little less cautious or inhibited as they traveled more to discover more?
Yeah, I think again, like it's if you when they discover that mirror into parallel universes, it's like opening Pandora's box, and I think Noel just think that life is becoming so easy because suddenly he can have everything he ever dreamt of, and with that he thinks he's becoming the person he was meant to be. So in that sense, yeah, he was more let loose further the film went, and because that would be basically like not having to be responsible for your own actions because things happens in another universe. And as soon as you step out of that universe, it's like it never happened because you can never go back to the same universe. And that's one of the like main premises of the film, that you're stepping into one universe, and the minute you step out of it, you can't go back to that same universe. So that makes it very, I guess, guilt-free, knowing that I can never, this will never affect me again.
An examination of guilt and how it affects someone's morality. Interesting. I did not look at it like that for that movie, but yeah, that's a pretty direct correlation, at least in this story.
Yeah, I think normal people, you know, what happens in blah 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 stays, and you know, I think it's just another more sci-fied version of that.
Cool. So, if there were a way, and I hope there would be, for Isaac to revisit this story from a different angle, would you be on board?
Oh, you mean if they want to do a sequel, prequel?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you meant if he wanted to go into parallel universe and he could do it another way.
Either way, the
Either
options
way.
are there.
Wait. Okay. I mean, if he wanted to revisit the story, it's hard to stop spoiling. I mean, I could say that I would work with Isaac any day of the week. It was a pleasure, and he is such an enthusiast when it comes to, he knows so much about film and he loves it, but he's also a team player. At the same time, he has his own idea about things, and I would come to him in the beginning of the shoot, just telling him that I'm an actor, that I bring a lot of ideas to set, and I can promise you they're not all good. So I just said to Isaac that I will throw you ideas all the time, but it will not be, you know, personal to me if you don't like it. And he was so generous with that when it came to discussing ideas, and we, you know, a lot of time we had friction, and I mean that in a good way, that he would explain his view, I would explain mine, and we had to sort of find the best way forward. And to me, that became 1 + 1 = 3, if that means anything, many times. And that's the same thing with the cast, that we worked so much together on the relationships and the characters. And I mean, George and Mark and Mel, they're excellent writers, and they've been directing a lot, so I learned so much from them. So I'd be happy to work with them again.
I don't know. I can't say enough about this movie. The performances, the set dressings, the way the costuming changed between the different worlds, and just playing with the idea that's presented there is just so delightful for me. So, first off, thank you guys for bringing a delightful science fiction thriller into my life in this year of stress.
Well, thank you for seeing it, and thank you for taking the time to listen to what we had to say.
Oh, seriously, my pleasure, my pleasure. So, are you working on anything new at the moment?
Yeah, I have done a series of films back in Europe and Sweden, and they're from a series called Beck, and they were released, first one a month ago and the other one this last Friday. It's a great cast. I love to be on that show, and one of the cast members is Christopher Heavey from Game of Thrones, the Norwegian guy with a big red beard. And yeah, it's been a joy doing that, and then I'm gonna start shooting in end of January. So I'm fortunate enough to be able to work, even though this tragic pandemic has been going on in the world.
Where can fans and listeners find you online to keep tabs on what other else you're working on?
Oh, that would be Instagram. I think it's Martin Wallström, and Twitter at Martin Wallström.
We will have links to those, and hopefully you've got some shots on your Instagram of you and the big guy. Martin, thank you so much for your time today. And again, awesome, awesome performance in Parallel.
Thank you so much, Summer.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this. Hi, welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest now is actor Mark O'Brien, who plays a key role in the sci-fi thriller Parallel, out now on video on demand and streaming. Hi, Mark, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Now, you play the hard put upon member of the quad, Josh. And first of all, I have to tell you, I loved this movie. I cannot express how much I enjoyed this movie. And your performance as, shall we say, befuddled romantic was charming.
Well, thank you very much. It's my specialty.
So how did you come to Parallel? Because like I said, this you're the one who wasn't looking for the financial advantage in tripping across a parallel world and, well, exploiting it.
Yeah, I mean, I came to the script was sent to me, and I saw the director Isaac's first two films, The Similars and The Incident, and I just thought he was an interesting filmmaker. I was like, you don't always see interesting filmmakers. I was like, oh, this guy's trying stuff. He's doing cool things with the genre, and now he has there's this other script that's like totally engrossing in this kind of but also entertaining way. And you know, as for the character, it was kind of fun because I got to play kind of two versions of the same person, which is a rarity. And sometimes just like non-existent for an actor to have that option. So it was kind of a real treat. So I kind of love being able to play that kind of loose kind of character who is all kinds of fun and you never know what he's going to do, and then playing another version of him that's very different. So it was a great opportunity as an actor.
Was there any discussion about what you would bring to the role of Josh? But like I said, because you know you're a fan of Isaac's work, I adored The Similars as well. Did he have any insights or something for you, or did you bring something all you to the table?
Well, Isaac, I certainly collaborate with on everything when we were doing it, and but the way I like to work as an actor is generally like you know, let's have some discussion, but let me show you, like. I don't know. I'm not a big fan, even though I come from the theater, but I'm not a big fan of rehearsal for film because you don't know what's going to happen. And I do think like the best takes are generally some of the first ones. So when you have an idea, I kind of need to just feel it out, because once you get to the set and once you're with the other actors and you're in wardrobe all kinds of things start happening. And I think with a character like this, he's kind of unpredictable and but he's like a lot of fun, and he kind of talks fast and he kind of moves fast. And so I was like, I kind of want to leave it kind of open to sort of see what's going to happen. And Isaac was really great with that. I mean, he is a true collaborator. So that's kind of what I look for in a director, and Isaac has that in spades. So it was really refreshing, actually.
What was it about the story that appealed to you most?
That I think it's something like everyone I've spoken to about the film, when we're making it too, kind of is always like, oh, that's so cool. I've always kind of been interested in that. And it's weird that I think we all kind of share this collective sort of fascination with something that we've never even seen to exist, like, at all. So I thought that was just kind of fascinating. I was like, oh, God, that would be weird if there was, like, another universe just like ours. And I'm like, why do we all kind of are kind of drawn to this idea? So obviously there's something there. And I just wanted to be a part of that because I do find that concept fascinating. And I think it's because it's something we can never really prove. So therefore, it's something that we can create upon by making a film about it. And I just thought that was a cool opportunity.
Are you a science fiction fan, a suspense fan?
You know, it's funny. I've done several science fiction films, and I was never a fan. And since doing the films, I think it's kind of made me more of a fan because I like, it's weird. Like, I never saw that coming. I'm an avid reader. I don't read much science fiction. I'd watch science fiction films, but I didn't seek out. I'd watch the big ones, but I'd never really sought them out. And now I find myself sort of doing that in the past few years. And I think it's because science fiction opens up the doors to any possibility. And when, as a reader, an audience, as a viewer, I mean, that's amazing that anything can happen. That grips you to your seat. That's what you want. That's what I want. I want to be like, I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't want to sit down and watch a movie that I can kind of see the next two acts playing out. So yeah, now I'm totally like into it, and I really like it.
Nice. I hearing someone who's new to science fiction and hearing that they've discovered the hunger for the flexibility and the imagination that those kind of stories bring just delights me.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. Like, it's art should have no imaginative bounds. It just shouldn't. But what I'm actually interested in a lot of times is the idea of not even just a science fiction film, having a drama with an aspect of science fiction. Like, I think every film should be able to have any kind of imagination. And there's nothing that destroys me more than when I'm watching a film and someone's like, oh, but that's not the way that, it's not like that in Pittsburgh, and clouds don't form that way, or whatever. I'm like, who cares? It's a movie. Or like, no one's accent sounds like that. I'm like, well, what if they were born in Sweden and then moved to England and then grew up in New York? Like, it's, everything is different. Everything is individualistic. And I don't think things are one way. And that's what I like about sci-fi.
Nice. So was there anything that fueled your love of science fiction from a particular scene in the movie? Was there anything in parallel that just sort of clicked and sparked for you?
There's a cool scene early on in the film. I'm not giving anything away because you can tell by the trailer that we obviously discover a parallel universe. And it's actually a scene that's in the trailer. It's where my character sees a version of myself and our friends in the same house. I go through the mirror and I see us, and we look the same. We're just doing something different. And I don't understand. And I'm like, I saw us. And we filmed that practically. So you see my character looking and I'm watching us, and then the camera doesn't cut. It just pans around. And what I did was I ran around. I mean, this is Isaac's idea, the director. I ran around the camera. I changed my clothes as I was running and then was in the scene. So we actually did it practically, and I just thought that was so cool. I was like, it was so fun. Like, it's not even, we didn't CG anything. It's we changed clothes and just ran around, and then I was just all of a sudden in that scene. And to me, I mean, that's kind of cool. That's when you're stretching like your imagination into new ways and stuff like that. So I love that stuff.
That is really cool. Now, with regards to some of the effects, were there moments where you were just having so much fun that you forgot where you were? Because there are some scenes in there during the montage of exploring, and I'm not giving anything here away, but there are moments where everybody is just completely acting like it's, you know, Christmas morning all year long.
Yeah, that stuff is really fun. I mean, when you're doing those sequences, you feel kind of silly actually sometimes, because sometimes when something's going to be cut up into a montage, you know that there's no dialogue in it. And you kind of end up shooting it a bit longer than needs to be shot because it's just a montage. I'm like, oh, we need a clip of you doing this. So in a way, you kind of feel awkward doing those scenes. But then when you see it all put together, you're like, oh, that's great. Like, that's it. It tells the story really well. And I think also it just keeps the momentum of the film going. Like, it keeps the interest up. And I think this film does a good job of staying with the audience. Like, the audience is with the filmmaker as it's happening. We're all kind of discovering together, which is really cool.
Nice, because I really, like I said, this whole movie was a delight from beginning to end. And you mentioned earlier that you come from a theater background. Do you enjoy performing theater more than film, or is it sort of an equal basket there?
No, I haven't done theater in a while now, but I really, they're two different things altogether, so they're hard to compare. But at the end of the day, I'm such a film buff that I just love being a part of film. So I always will veer in that direction just because I love being a part of the thing that I enjoy so much. So, you know, I know actors who are like, I don't like to watch my work. I'm like, I do, because I'm in the movie, and that's so cool. I want to see how the movie turned out. Like, you know, I don't sit back and rewind all my own scenes, but I want to see how the thing I was involved with turned out. Like, I can't wait. So that's the way I look at it. I'm just excited. I love film. So I'm just excited to be a part of it every time.
I mean, yeah, because if you made a movie and you had a great time making it, wouldn't you want to say to all your friends, hey, check this movie out?
Yeah, it's so good. Like, look what we created. And do you like it? Oh, you didn't. Why not? And then it sparks discussion and debate, and I mean, that's what it's all about. So I want to be involved in that just as much as I was involved in the shooting of it. That's like what I was saying, that's the fun, I think.
Mm-hmm. And debating a particular movie or TV show is the core tenet of science fiction, I believe, because I grew up arguing stuff with people, so why not?
Yeah, and I think art too. Like, I don't want to walk out of a movie and forget about it. I want to either hate it or love it. Like, I want to have a reaction to it. Like, I'm going to say right now, there's one director's work I just don't like, and that's Lars von Trier. But hey, he gets a reaction out of me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. So, you know, I'd rather that than be bored to tears. So I think the debate and all that kind of stuff is great. And I made my own film last year, and I'm like, I'm kind of interested if people hate it. I'd be interested to talk to them. Like, what gave such a strong reaction? So I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and constructive criticism can be helpful in the next thing you make, as long as it's, you know, constructive and not, you know, just petty and spiteful.
Yeah, and being an actor, we're so used to, I mean, we get torn to shreds so often that you're like, oh, what the hell? Like, I mean, I don't even notice it anymore even when it's not constructive. You just know when to just delete that email. We're programmed now. So it's fine. It's fine. You can't take it too seriously.
Now, have you been looking for new projects to work on that have that are science fiction or have a science fiction flavor?
Oh, actually, I write a lot of scripts, and several of the scripts actually are science fiction. So yeah, I'm very drawn to that. I mean, the scripts that come my way, you never know what you're going to get, and and some are science fiction, but they're not that strong, and or you don't, it doesn't appeal to you or strike your fancy. But I'm definitely drawn to it because, yeah, I've written two films that are in development that are science fiction. So it's definitely something I like because, like I said, I like the realms. As a writer, it's wonderful because you can make anything up. Like, this isn't like the Battle of the Bulge where I got to get all the dates right. I can do whatever the hell I want. So, and I think as an artist, that's very liberating.
Nice. So where can people keep up with you and what you're working on next? Because the fact that you've written two science fiction stories that are in development intrigues me. And I want to know more later when you can talk about those. But in general, where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram at Mark O'Brien Faux Real. And then I'm on Twitter at Mark O'Brien NL. The NL is for Newfoundland, which is where I'm from in Canada.
And Canada has a very rich history of creating some awesome science fiction TV shows.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My God, so many.
Cool. So when do you think you'll be able to talk about those science fiction stories you've written? She says with a very selfish interest.
Well, I directed a film that's sort of a psychological horror, if that falls under like a genre category that is finished, that we're waiting to see what happens with it, you know, how we're going to release it and stuff next year. But I'm very, very pleased with that. So I already have made one, and then the other two are in development, Nick, you know what I mean? Hopefully in the next year or two, but I think the next time we would speak would hopefully be about the one I actually made that's finished, because you never know with development how long it's going to take, but I'm very, very happy with the film I directed. It's called The Righteous, and it's about an ex-priest who's fearing the wrath of a very vengeful god, so it's pretty deep.
Interesting. You know, I'm a huge fan of horror, psychological horror especially. So when that is available to talk about, I would definitely want to bend your ear again on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm available.
Cool. Well, thank you again, Mark, for your time today. The movie is Parallel, out December 11th on various platforms. I recommend seeing it, especially if you were a fan of Isaac's previous movies, my favorite being The Similars. Again, thank you so much, Mark.
Thanks, Summer. Really nice talking to you.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered. In every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families, to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
This is Kevin Murphy from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Rift Tracks, and you have bitten off a nice big chunk of Slice of Sci-Fi.
If you enjoy parallel world explorations, time travel, potentially time travel examinations, Parallel is a movie you should definitely check out. A few years back, I could not recommend The Similars enough, and I'm going to do the same thing with Parallel. Parallel is a lot of fun, and on additional watches, you get to unpack some of the layering that's been done on all the characters, and I am certainly hoping there is director and writer commentary on the Blu-ray. I will have to ask about that. But the movie came out yesterday, December 11th. Please check it out on your favorite digital and on-demand platforms. You will not be disappointed. Hopefully, in a couple days, there will be my review of it. Depends on how quickly I get through writing some of the other stuff that I'm a little bit behind on. But take my word for it, this movie is well worth your time and curiosity. So what are you watching for the holidays? What science fiction or horror are you queuing up for your, hopefully, few days of decompression downtime? Let me know. The number is 602-635-6976. Call in with your lists or shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio Podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please leave us a review. Help signal boost the show. Let other people find it. Tell other people that you are enjoying the show. And maybe there are an interview or two with some indie filmmakers or some comic book creators or some media savvy authors in your favorite genres of science fiction and horror that they might want to listen to those interviews. Because I had fun talking to those people. Hopefully, you're having as much fun listening to them. You can follow us on Twitter, @SliceOfSciFi. And yes, I will get into discussions on a lot of things. Check out the feed. And check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/SliceOfSciFi. And of course, there's the website, sliceofscifi.com. Come on by, check out other interviews, check out various reviews that we've done on graphic novels, on science books, on television shows and movies in our favorite genres. Come on by. You can actually weigh in with your own opinion on some of those reviews if you do not agree with what our astute geeks have decided. I'd like to thank everyone who's helping to support the podcast and website efforts here at Slice of Sci-Fi, and also Writers After Dark, Babylon Podcast, Charlie Jade, and a handful of others. Your donations, your pledges help keep those websites, those podcasts online for all to share. If you'd like to help, the link to use is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. And all patrons are eligible to get a perk. Every month I pick an email address out of the hat, and that lucky winner gets to choose from a book, a DVD, a Blu-ray, a 4K, items I share with listeners and supporters. Because honestly, I'm running out of room to keep all of this around. And if you'd rather just donate every now and then instead of commit to a monthly pledge through Patreon, the link to use is paypal.me/scifisummer. And that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi, actually a double dip of Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.